Our scripture lesson for this morning comes from God's Word in 1 Corinthians chapter 6. We begin at verse 12 of 1 Corinthians 6, page 1651 in the Pew Bible. We're reading that in connection with our confession of faith as we jump back into, climb back into the Ten Commandments, God's will for our lives. We left off of the Sixth Commandment about a month ago or so. We're going to climb into the Ten Commandments, God's rule of gratitude for His redeemed people. And we want to take a look at friendship on fire in God's Word, 1 Corinthians 6. Because of communion, I'm going to take another look at, this text, this the commandment next Sunday, Lord willing. But for now, we'd like to see in 1 Corinthians 6, in the light of Lord's Day 41, you can find that on page 54 in the back of the Psalter hymnal. There's an outline of the message for you in the bulletin as we study God's Word together on as God commands us, forbids us from committing adultery. Let's pray together. Father in heaven, we pray that your Spirit may lead us into all truth, that we may once again find you in love, Lord Jesus, the lover of our souls, and that we may love you more and more in finding. We ask that you would hear our prayers and bless the reading and the proclamation of your word. May it make a divine impact upon our lives to be your living sanctuaries, holy, pure, and true. We ask for these blessings in the name of Jesus. Amen. Please stand with me if you're able at attention for the reading of the Word of God in 1 Corinthians 6, beginning at verse 12. This is the Word of the Lord. All things are lawful for me, but not all things are helpful. All things are lawful for me, but I will not be enslaved by anything. Food is meant for the stomach, and the stomach for food. And God will destroy both one and the other. The body is not meant for sexual immorality, but for the Lord. And the Lord for the body. And God raised the Lord and will also raise us by His power. Do you not know that your bodies are members of Christ? Shall I then take the members of Christ and make them members of a prostitute? Never. Or do you not know that he who is joined to a prostitute becomes one body with her? For as it is written, the two will become one flesh. But he who is joined to the Lord becomes one spirit with him. Flee from sexual immorality. Every other sin a person commits is outside the body. But the sexually immoral person sins against his own body. Or do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit within you, whom you have from God? You are not your own, for you were bought with a price. So glorify God in your body. You may be seated. I would encourage you to keep the Bible open and handy, and we're going to just read responsively from our Confession of Faith in Lord's Day 41, a summary of the Word of God concerning God's will for our lives in the seventh commandment. Christians, what is God's will for us in the seventh commandment? God condemns all unchastity. We should therefore thoroughly detest it, and married or single, live decent and chaste lives. Does God in this commandment forbid only such scandalous sins as adultery? We are temples of the Holy Spirit, body and soul, and God wants both to be kept clean and holy. That is why he forbids everything which incites unchastity, whether it be actions, looks, talk, thoughts, or desires. So far, our confession, I would encourage you to keep that available too. It's kind of what I'm working off of, especially though in light of 1 Corinthians 6, concerning the message, Friendship on Fire. Your congregation of Christ, brothers, sisters in the Lord, friends of our church family, it was Groucho Marx who made the comment, marriage is an institution, but kind of tongue-in-cheek, he joked about, well, who wants to live in an institution? And many people think that way in our day and age. You know, those who want to live in an institution like marriage is so restrictive and confining, right? But dear friends, I for one want to live in an institution. I'm glad you do too. I hope you do, because God's institution of marriage is for our good, and that's why He protects it. He protects it with the seventh commandment. God protects. What is marriage? Marriage is a friendship on fire. The friendship of one man, one woman for one lifetime, fired up by the fire of the Holy Spirit Himself. So we want to take a look together, first of all, that God made this institution we call marriage. We see how sin, your sin, my sin, all of our sin unmakes it, but how God, by His Son and through His Spirit, remakes what He originally made so that we may experience really His friendship, but our friendship on fire. First of all, God made it. Marriage, I mean. And we see that together in 1 Corinthians 6, verse 13. 1 Corinthians 6, verse 13. Paul says, the body is not meant for sexual immorality. It's meant for the Lord, and the Lord for the body. It's a whole sermon in and of itself. We just want to try to give a brief explanation there. Paul is saying in the world of Corinth, it was sex city. So Corinth was. In fact, there was a term coined to Corinthianize men to be sexually immoral. And Paul brings, and that's what we're living in, a sex-saturated society in our day and age, that's spoiling and ruining God's good gift of a marriage. And Paul is saying, look, your bodies are meant for the Lord. Marriage is from God and it's for God. Your friendship on fire, your bodies are for the Lord. It's not meant for sexual immorality. In other words, sex is God's good gift. It's so good, in fact, right? We read, for instance, the two will become one flesh in verse 16. And the Apostle Paul is remembering, right, how it all began. God made Adam and Eve to be a one flesh fellowship. And then later on, as that prototype of marriage, the first marriage, became the pattern for yours and mine and for the human race. One man, one woman for one life. He said, it's so precious, it's so good, it's so beautiful. The joining, the mingling together, physically, financially, spiritually, emotionally, I'm going to guard it. For my glory and your pure joy, I'm guarding it with this commandment, you shall not commit adultery. So God surrounds this precious, right, your own personal Garden of Eden. That's what marriage is, friendship on fire. He guards it with this marriage boundary. The day we get married is the day we enter the institution of marriage. The day we get married, you enter the institution of marriage. So it's not this idea that I think is very common in our day and age that, well, we kind of grow into being married, right? I'm a little more married this year than I was last year. I think that's the type of thinking in our day and age. No, it's an institution. Marriage is what marriage is, right? God's idea. Marriage is God's idea, and it's God's invention. So here's why that really matters, and very, very practical lessons. So what we mean by that is specifically, your body is meant for the Lord. So, dear friends, my brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ, love is for sex. And we shouldn't be embarrassed by hearing that or saying that. Love is for sex. It's God's idea. It's God's invention. Nothing to be embarrassed about or ashamed about. It's pure. It's holy. It's a good gift. Enjoy it. Don't make too much out of it. But don't think too less of it either. All right? So we got to get this balance. But love is for sex. But you first make a public commitment to someone before love is for sex. If you're not going to make that public commitment voluntarily, the voluntary public commitment promise before God and witnesses, right? You're not ready for sex. God is so generous, God is so wise, God is so good that He doesn't want you to ruin your relationship. Ruin the friendship on fire that God has designed for you. I know how it goes, right? We have our feelings. We have our emotions, right? God made us with, as creatures of His, image bearers of Him, with lots of passions. But no matter how you feel, no matter how emotional you feel, God says, I don't want you to be exploited. I don't want your friendship on fire to be exploited. I don't want you to be taken advantage of. I don't want this to be manipulated. It's too sacred. So love is for sex only when you publicly commit before God. So if you're not ready, if you haven't made a public commitment, God guards it. Don't cross the boundary, right? Your body is meant for the Lord. It's not meant for sexual immorality. The gift of physical intimacy between the one man and the one woman for one life is something to be enjoyed and received with thanksgiving for God's glory and our pleasure. So what that means, dear friends, marriage is an institution. And that means there's safety. God gives you safety. God gives you security in that relationship. But if we don't want to honor it, you will be unsafe. And you will be in danger. Right? So let's encourage, let's commend marriage. Let's defend marriage. In an easy divorce, highly sexualized, we're back in Corinth again. Society. I commend it. And it's just I almost want to go right here and so you get the idea. This is a matter of wisdom. It's a matter of wisdom. There's lots of variables. There's lots of extenuating circumstances. But dear friends, I want to say a word to our young people. Don't put it off. Don't put marriage off. I think we need to at least appreciate that we need to be wise. More on that in a second. I think we tend to put off marriage too long. Okay? I think there's a matter of wisdom for us to say, Holy Spirit, lead me. Why am I putting marriage off? Okay? Marriage is a good gift from God. Don't put it off too long. Because our sinful hearts can spoil a friendship on fire. It unmakes what God has made. Nobody's straight here this morning. I'm not. Neither are you. Lust unmakes, right? The evil desires of our hearts. Lust unmakes this friendship on fire. Lust is idolatry. Lust is slavery. And lust is destructive. Lust unmakes what God makes. That beautiful, warm, right, friendship on fire. A fire is great in a fireplace. Once it gets out, it burns and destroys a lot of things and causes a lot of damage. And the Apostle Paul says here, all things are lawful for me, but not all things are helpful. All things, verse 12, are lawful for me, but I will not be enslaved by anything. What is lust? It's an idolatrous desire makes sex into a god or a goddess, right? Sex becomes a false god to me or to you. And God says, I want you to be on the lookout. Food is meant for the stomach for food. You know, that's how the Corinthians were treating this wonderful gift of friendship on fire. And God is telling us as well as he does the Corinthians that it's not just, well, just like I eat food. It's something natural, right? Sexual immorality, sex outside of marriage, violating the marriage covenant. Well, it's just as natural as eating. What's the big deal, right? The body doesn't matter. Well, the body matters because it's made in the image of God and redeemed by the grace of God for the glory of God. So lust is idolatrous. Jesus says in Matthew chapter 5, for instance, you've heard that it's said, do not commit adultery, but I say to you that a man or a woman, we could say as well, Matthew chapter 5, who lusts after someone in their heart is guilty of breaking the seventh commandment. God condemns all unchastity. We should detest it, married or single, and live decent and chaste lives. He forbids anything that incites unchastity, whether it be actions, looks, talk, thoughts, or desires. In the words of C.S. Lewis, it's very important for us to think about this, that lust is a devil in our lives when we think of sex as a false god. It's idolatrous and it's enslaving. We read together in the text here at verse 12, I will not be enslaved by anything. Sexual immorality can become an addiction, just like an addiction to alcohol or an addiction to drugs, right? You take one, it's not enough. You need another hit. Pornography is an enslaving addiction. And we need to beware. Are you heeding the warnings? Am I heeding the warnings of God's Word? Men, many men are addicted to pornography. In fact, there's a rising, statistics are rising when it comes to women becoming addicted to pornography. It's an enslaving desire, lust, I mean. Take aim at the deadly sin. It's one of the deadly seven sins, the seven deadly sins. Take aim. Because it enslaves, and lust is destructive. Verse 18 of the text. That's why Paul says, flee from sexual immorality. Every other sin is a person commits is outside the body. But the sexually immoral person sins against his own body. You destroy yourself physically and emotionally. In terms of interpersonal relationships, it's really love out of order. That's what lust is. It's God's great design of love, but it's all out of order. It's all out of place. Lust is idolatrous. Lust is enslaving. Lust is destructive. It's so destructive, in fact, that I read statistics that about 50% of divorces at the root cause are because guys, a husband or a wife, has a pornography addiction. Why are so many marriages unmade? It's because one or both have a pornography addiction. It's destructive. Big deal? Here's the big deal. Our marriages tell the bigger story of God's love. Right? The good and great, wonderful story of God's unconditional sacrificial love for His bride in Jesus Christ and His loving, loyal faithfulness to a runaway bride. That's the big deal. That's the story God is telling. That's why it's a big deal when our relationships, our friendships on fire are unmade by lust. Are you heeding the warnings of God's Word? Many marriages are unraveling, are being unmade because I'm not a Luddite. You know, social networks out there. It's wonderful to be socially connected through social networking. But the devil is using it as a playground out there, social network sites, to start up so-called old flames, right? Getting in touch with people I had a relationship with in high school, for instance. Be on the lookout. Beware of temptations. And the Apostle Paul, I really think, is telling us, don't you know that your body, but the sexually immoral person sins against his own body. Don't you know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit within you, whom you have from God, verse 19? I think he's purposely trying to shock us. We become very insensitive and unshocked in an adulterous generation. It no longer shocks us. Paul is trying to shock us. Boys and girls, it's like this. What is adultery, boys and girls? It's when a wife treats another man in the special way that she should only treat her husband. Paul says that should disgust you. Boys and girls, it's like going to your friend's home after church and you sit down and go to eat at the table and there's an open can of worms on the table. There's these night crawlers. All the dirt and grime of a night crawler is all crawling all over the table and there's some maggots all over the forks and knives and spoons. There's cockroaches on the floor and there's flies buzzing all over in the air. I lost my appetite. I don't want to eat anymore, right? That's what Paul is saying. Your body is meant for the Lord. Three quick things. Fathers, teach your daughters to dress modestly. Teach your daughters to dress modestly. Flee sexual immorality. I think we can put it this way practically. If my daughter or your daughter looks like the women on those magazine pictures or online or in the music videos, if they're dressing that way, that's immodest. Fathers, teach your sons. to look women in the eye. To be genuinely interested in women, not as objects, but as real people made in the image of God. Or other young women to serve. Right? Beware. Flee sexual immorality. There are temptations, distractions out there, and there's the sin of my own heart and yours that unmakes what God has made, but God remakes it. God remakes it. This friendship on fire. Jesus gives grace, and He does it for the past, our past hang-ups. Verses 10 and 11 again. Jesus does give, it's actually outside of our text, but we read together, do you not know the unrighteous, verse 9 of 1 Corinthians 6, will not inherit the kingdom of God. Do not be deceived. Neither the sexually immoral, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor men who practice homosexuality, nor thieves, nor the greedy, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor swindlers will inherit the kingdom of God. And such were some of you, but you were, past tense, you were washed, you were sanctified, you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of God. You've been thinking the unthinkable. We've sinned against our own bodies. We've sinned against others. We're haunted by the past. We have been looking at what we should never, ever look at, and may we never, ever look at it again. There's forgiveness. There's grace for the past, for the guilt that eats away. Right? I'm frustrated. I'm winning the war by the grace of God alone, but I'm losing battles. Jesus says, I want you to self-identify. I want you to self-identify with me. You are not your own. Verse 19 and 20. You were bought with a price. I bought you with my blood. So I rescue sexual sinners. Claim my cleansing blood. Claim my pardoning blood. It washes the foulest clean. His blood is available for you and for me. And put this in your playlist, sing this, and let it be sung to you. I quote, well, may the accuser roar of sins that I have done. I know them all and thousands more. The Lord, taste it. See, the Lord knows none. Jesus gives grace for the past. He gives grace in terms of guidance for the present. Flee sexual immorality, not even a hint of it. And then 1 Corinthians 7, we read together there, now concerning the matters about which you wrote, it is good for a man not to have sexual relations with a woman. But because of the temptation to sexual immorality, that goes back to the wisdom point. Don't put marriage off too long, guys, right? Or gals. Each man should have his own wife and each woman her own husband. The husband should give to his wife her conjugal rights, and likewise the wife to her husband. For the wife does not have authority over her own body, but the husband does. Likewise, the husband does not have authority over his own body, but the wife does. Flee sexual immorality. Run like Joseph ran away from Potiphar's wife. And then make sure you're following the pattern, the example in the book of Song of Solomon. I want to preach a sermon out of that next Sunday, Lord willing. His friendship on fire continues to be rekindled by frequent, regular physical intimacy between husband and the wife. And Jesus gives us encouragement. Jesus gives us glory for the future. Verses 13 and 14 of 1 Corinthians chapter 6. The body is not meant for sexual immorality, but for the Lord, and the Lord for the body. And the God raised the Lord and will also raise us up by His power. Do you not know your bodies are members of Christ? And the Holy Spirit has come to live in you. And you get that, you know, it's not just, okay, it's in my heart, you know, but it's the Holy Spirit is literally in your hands. Somehow, mysteriously, He's in your eyes. He's in your hands. He's in every part of your body. So your body is meant for the Lord and bought at a price. And these bodies of ours that are good, and so often we spoil. God says, I'm bringing them to glory. And raise them one day as we experience all kinds of disappointments, all kinds of frustrations and struggles. Jesus says, I'm going to raise you one day from the dead to be my bride so that you're in my arms of love forever. And that's better and the best romance ever. I close with this. Tim Keller tells a story. I really think it's good. It tells a story about a king who everybody said was a magical king. And the king went to his subjects one day, and he saw a beggar on the side of the road as he went by mingling with his subjects. And the king said to the beggar, "Hey, I want you to give me whatever you have." And beggar had just a bowl of rice with him. That's all he had, right, to eat. So the beggar, takes three pieces of rice out, and he gives it to the king. And then the king walks away. And then the beggar looks into his bowl, and there's three pieces of gold. And the beggar said, "Boy, I wished I would have given everything to this king." The point, dear friends, this institution, the institution of marriage, is a great gift from God. Give him your all. Give him everything. Give Jesus Christ, your King of love, your sexual desires, and they'll be remade. They'll be reborn, and you'll experience a friendship on fire. Amen. Let's go to the table of the Lord, singing together a song of dedication. We're going to stand.